Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Now, for today, it is day one of the COVID-19 lockdown in South Africa. And we decided that perhaps we should look at what the economic impact has been thus far of COVID-19. It's something we've been talking about quite extensively on the Business Day Spotlight. And for today, we are talking about the fact that Old Mutual Investment Group is saying that the economic impact due to COVID-19 is severe, but it is likely that the economy will rebound. And to help us unpack some of the issues, we are joined by Johan Els, who is the chief economist at Old Mutual Investment Group. Johan, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm fantastic. Thank you.
No. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you guys have actually gone out and modeled quite a bit. I had the privilege of sitting in on a presentation the other day that you guys gave just around some of the issues that may be affecting the global economy, South Africa and the like. Starting with the global side, because globally, that's one of the things that tends to affect us locally in terms of the rand, things like that. What's your outlook on that side? What have you guys seen? And what are some of the things that you guys are already seeing trickling down into the South African economy?
Yes, the global economy is going to experience quite a severe and very deep recession in the first half of this year. It will totally rival what we saw during the global financial crisis in 2008 and 2009. I've got far more negative growth coming through in the first and second quarters on a quarter and quarter annualized basis. We expect deep recessions in almost all of the developed economies and most of the emerging market economies. So that'll lead to quite a sharp downshift in economic growth, which will, of course, have a severe impact on South Africa as well. But for the global economy, as you mentioned, the downshift will be deep and very severe. But then we've had significant policy support, and I expect more policy support to come.
I guess the big question then is, on your end, where do you guys forecast the economic growth numbers for SA? We've had a number of downward revisions since the start of the year, and even pre-COVID-19, some people had taken it down to just 0.7%. Could it really get any worse than that?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to get a lot worse than that. But you're right, at the start of the year, we still had quite decent positive numbers. Well, not great, but at least positive growth forecast for this year. But that was also coming off the back of a world economy that was expected to be somewhat better with the easing of trade tensions and the policy support we've had, international rate cuts during the second half of last year. But of course, that is now long gone. Since then, we've had the release of the fourth quarter GDP numbers that was negative. So the SA economy turned into a recession. And then the virus infection rate started accelerating across the globe and then reached South Africa as well. And on top of that, the lockdown, the severe impact on the economy. And at best, now I expect a minus 2% GDP growth for South Africa for this year. That's significantly weaker than what we started off the year. And that's also, importantly, significantly weaker than what the Reserve Bank expects. They've got minus 0.2%. growth forecast in their last MPC meeting last week for 2020. I cannot see how we can get any better than minus 2. And in fact, depending on how this unfolds, I'm on the verge of revising that forecast lower still. So there's significant downside risk to minus 2%. Forecast for South Africa for this year.
It definitely does sound like the situation is quite dire, because we've been struggling for years. South Africa has been struggling for years to grow at over 1%. And now you're saying that the forecast is negative 2%. I think that just shows, I guess, the magnitude of how big this problem is. And unfortunately, economists are often asked to look inside a crystal ball and asked how long will things last for, happen for, etc. What's the answer for you guys? Because no one, I guess, on the science side perhaps knows when the outbreak will be done, controlled and handled around the world. But for the economists community, where are you guys seeing, how long will this thing really be affecting us?
Yes, it's very difficult because we absolutely do not know. So we must make some assumptions. And if we're successful in containing the virus, if we can contain that spread in terms of the infection rate, that it all peaks out within the next 2 or 3 months, then on the back of a sharp global recovery in the second half of this year, the SA economy should also experience a similar type of recovery in the second half. But that is already built into a deeply negative 2020 overall. So that minus 2% that we talked about already assumes a recovery in the second half of this year. It just shows you how big and how deep the negative will be in the first half of this year. So when we see the next quarterly GDP numbers, it will be deeply negative. It'll be more negative than we've ever seen in South Africa in terms of a quarter-on-quarter annualized rate of change. But you're right, we need to look into the future, and at some point will be behind us. We've seen significant policy support globally. In the US, just this latest fiscal package that was approved is equal to 10% of GDP, of the US GDP. So that's huge. And they're already talking about another fiscal package. The Fed's quantitative easing will be unlimited. And Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, talked about more than $4 trillion that's possible. So we are talking numbers far bigger than during the global financial crisis. That will eventually help emerging markets as well. But yeah, you're right. It depends on how the virus unfolds over the next few months. Down the line, though, I think we've been lucky in that our government has very decisive in terms of reacting quickly and decisively to this crisis. And I think combined with the decision-making around the budget when the president and the minister of finance was willing to take on the unions and limiting wage bill growth, despite the obvious implementation risk around that. That decisiveness coming through this crisis as well puts the president in a far stronger position. And I just hope that that goes further into more decisive economic policy making as well. So, you know, you talked about sustained low growth below 1% on average for the last 5 years, deeper into negative territory this year. At some point that will turn, but we need more decisive policy making. And I think while it's relatively easy to say, because cycles do turn, yeah, I think the next 5 years could be better than the past 5 years. But we've got a long way this year to go before we get to more certainty around that.
Actually, on the issue of some of the policy interventions, you touched on what's going on in terms of the stimulus in places like the US. We hear the World Bank, is working on I think $130 billion stimulus package or something like that, if I stand to be corrected on the numbers. What have you felt about the specific economic interventions that the government has instituted in South Africa? Because I think a lot of people were surprised last week when the South African Reserve Bank reduced interest rates by 100 basis points. And for a lot of people, they felt that that was probably the only lever that the government could probably pull in terms of some type of stimulus, with others arguing that a fiscal measure was perhaps a better place, actually pumping money into the economy. And then, you know, earlier this week, the SWAB coming out again saying that it's going to implement further stimulus into the economy. How have you felt? Is it going to be enough, I guess, to stabilize us?
To start with the last point, no, I don't think it's enough yet. No way near enough yet. But we've seen some significant action, the Reserve Bank's rate cuts. But of course, I strongly believe we need to see more rate cuts, and we can't wait till the next MPC meeting in May. We need to do that urgently in an interim or emergency meeting, maybe another 100 at least. And then the Reserve Bank has started with quantitative easing as well. Well, they say it's not yet true quantitative easing. It's just to increase liquidity and ease the liquidity constraints in the money market. Yeah, true, but I think we can go further. We need to actually go to full US-style quantitative easing,
yeah.
QE to that extent. But also already we've seen government reacting far more decisively compared to the global financial crisis in terms of the measures announced last week, supporting small and medium enterprises, supporting taxpayers earning below 6,500 rand per month. That's more significant than we've ever seen. And despite the very severe fiscal constraints that we do have, may I mention that I think the budget deficit was already blown out. My estimate for this year is 10% deficit, given the circumstances, and perhaps a lot more compared to the 6.8% deficit budgeted in February. But we were already going to lose a Moody's ratings downgrade, so we might as well support the economy further. And we've got a very easy way of doing that, apart from tax relief that was announced for those specific lower income earners. Our social grant system, for instance, the system is there. It would be relatively easy, though expensive, to give the social grant recipients, and there's 18.3 million of them, an extra monthly amount. 200 rand a month would cost 3.6 billion extra. As I say, we haven't got the fiscal room, but we're already going to lose the Moody's downgrade. We might as well support the economy more. So there's a lot more that we need to do, that we can do. If the government, for instance, go with extra fiscal spending, then, of course, the Reserve Bank needs to come to the party through QE and buying up government debt. I don't think this will be deflation or inflationary at all. In fact, I'm still more worried about deflation than inflation. In this very weak economy, we've seen no pass-through from a weak currency to consumer prices. In fact, I think inflation is heading towards 3% and lower over the next few months under these circumstances. So Reserve Bank must come to the party, cutting rates more, going extensive QE, buying up government debt, and government can blow up the deficit further. I don't think under current circumstances we're worried about the investment grade rating at all, because we're going to lose that. So we might as well spend more, help support the economy.
Now, this discussion, we've really been focused on what's going on in the macro, on the macro side of things, in terms of the South African economy, a lot around what's going on policy-wise in terms of the government and global markets. But I was hoping to perhaps get your thoughts on how business is going to be affected by some of the economic impacts and some of the issues that you've highlighted, because businesses have to plan. We've already seen some of the impacts on the ground, groups like Edcon possibly collapsing because of this slowdown in economic activity, shifts in consumer spending and buying, that sort of thing. Where are you sort of seeing the dangers for businesses?
Yeah, it's not where I see it. It's everywhere. You just think about this shutdown that's happening at the moment. So we're allowed to buy food, but we're not allowed to buy clothing, footwear, furniture, durable goods, nothing. So that is going to come to a complete halt. So retail sales will stop. Manufacturing production will be under severe pressure. Most of the mines are being closed. So the pain is going to be virtually everywhere. Except maybe the food retailers. But already I hear from our company analysts how the individual companies are saying how sales have been collapsing. So the pain that Edcon is going through will extend to a wide range of other retailers and businesses as well. So really that brings to the fore the fact that the economy needs a lot more support. Thinking to the 2008-09 global financial crisis, we lost 860,000 jobs. Now, while I said earlier that government has shown more support to lower income taxpayers and businesses, that won't be enough. So if we're heading towards minus 2% GDP growth or weaker than that even, as I mentioned, versus the minus 1.5% GDP growth in 2009, so we're weaker than then. This means we're at risk of losing a million or more jobs. If we don't support the economy through more fiscal measures, through the Reserve Bank being far more aggressive in terms of policy support. So certainly it's going to hurt business, it's going to hurt consumers, and that's despite the fact that we're going to get some benefit from the lower petrol price and lower interest rates. There will be a lot more pain to come over the next weeks and months.
On that petrol price, because it definitely does sound like businesses, consumers, everyone is going to be feeling the pain. That petrol price coming down, what type of effect do you think it's going to have? I think before we started the podcast, I just asked you off air, who's actually going to benefit from this petrol price cut if everyone is at home? Because most of the time, petrol price cuts signal some type of relief on the consumer. But if the consumer isn't going to work and a lot of consumers are at home, like, who is it really relieving?
Good question. Firstly, the oil price decline globally, you know, that has a huge policy support. It acts as a, almost in inverted commas, a huge global tax cut because businesses and consumers will benefit from lower costs. And in South Africa's case, the petrol price cut beginning of April will be around 1.80 or more cents per liter. 1.80 per liter, sorry. Combined with interest rate cut that will help us save on our mortgage loans and other loans. In bad times like this, the propensity to consume is very low. In other words, we're not likely to go out and spend the savings. And as you say, we sit at home, so we're not spending on petrol in any case. So this needs to last until after the lockdown for us to really get that benefit. But in fact, because we're not spending and because the spending will be lower on petrol and interest rates, our balance sheets will look a little bit better. In good times, normally that propensity to consume is far higher. In good times, when we get a saving like this on the petrol or interest payments, we spend more than what we save. But this time around, it's bad times. We're hesitant to spend. So it's bad for the economy if we save our money, but it's good for our balance sheet. So when things start to recover, we'll have a lot more money to spend and maybe some pent-up demand. Those months that we haven't spent on aggregate, the consumer haven't spent on furniture, on clothing, on footwear, on durable goods, on cars, on furniture, etc. That pent-up demand will actually come through. So that'll help the V-shape, the uptick when that comes, if only in the second half of this year. But you're right, we're not realizing that benefit at the moment, but eventually it will come through. Just think of the oil price that was above $60 a barrel. It's now below $30 a barrel. That is a huge impact in terms of the rand oil price in South Africa. So despite the rand weakening, it still has been a big benefit. It needs to last though for us to get continued benefit from that. But for now, lots of pain, but with a slight positive on the horizon that maybe if it lasts, we'll get that benefit once the lockdown ends.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot. And I'm saying it's a lot because, as you rightly put it, consumers, there might be that pent-up demand that will, you know, perhaps, you know, come up if there's a sustained, perhaps a period after the COVID-19 crisis is over where there isn't too much to shake up consumers, where there is that pent-up demand coming back onto the market, people buying more, etc. And we certainly hope that's what's going to happen. But I was hoping that we could end the discussion on the Moody's rating. It's something you touched on earlier on, and it's sort of signaled for today. And I'm going to ask you a question that we've asked other economists on this platform, and that's, is it fair for Moody's today to issue a downgrade? Yes, it's something that we have sort of anticipated because of all the factors pre-COVID-19 that were leading the country, the budget, state of the state-owned enterprises, the public sector wage bill, all of these different factors that were likely to see us in a downgrade from Moody's. But given where the global economy is and some of the rash action that central banks have had to take in, and the government and all the support that the state has had to give to the economy, is it fair at this point for Moody's to actually issue that ratings downgrade?
Yeah, good question. I still think that it is fair. If you think back to around the time of the budget, late February, the budget target was minus 6.8% of GDP for the budget deficit. That's huge. There was no stabilization in the debt to GDP ratio. Economic growth was forecast to be below 1% this year, and it has been below 1% for the previous 5 years. There was no serious plan to get economic growth going yet. So, yeah, late February, it was absolutely fair for Moody's to downgrade us, and I think a downgrade is still, on that basis, fair. The fact that things have deteriorated quite substantially since then, over the past month, I think even if that is ignored, Moody's should still downgrade South Africa. And the main reason there is there's no serious plan to get economic growth going. And economic growth is the one biggest issue in South Africa, or the lack thereof, really. So there has been increasing talk over the last few days and week that maybe Moody's just stays quiet tonight and they don't say anything at all. In other words, they don't say they're going to delay it. They don't say they're not going to downgrade. They don't say they're going to downgrade. They just quiet, totally quiet, and delay this issue until after, let's say, when the virus has peaked globally and in South Africa. But I think the downgrade is totally on the cards, and because it's totally on the cards, I think it has been priced. I think markets are just so much more concerned about other issues at the moment that markets are really not going to react at all if we downgrade it. In fact, the FTSE WIGBI has announced already that they're not going to change the index at the end of April, that if there's a Moody's downgrade, we'll only exit the WIGBI index at the end of May in any case. But you know what? This downgrade has been so widely expected in South Africa for more than 2 years that I think it's totally priced in any case.
Okay. So that's been it for today. Thank you so much to Johan. He's signaling some measure of positivity in all of this stuff, you know, detailing the fact that there have been a lot of negative impacts on the global and local economies because of COVID-19 and all of the uncertainty that it is bringing to us. But he's saying that the economy is likely to rebound if there isn't anything to really shake things up after the crisis is over. One of the things that he also highlights is the fact that the South African government has been quite good at being decisive and putting measures in place, but he does just warn that the measures put in place so far in terms of economic stimulus might not be enough, together with some of the global factors such as a lower oil price, which is resulting in lower fuel prices that are set to kick in next week. So that's been it for today. Thank you so much to Johan Els, who is the chief economist at Old Mutual Investment Group, for joining us for today. Johan, thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Goodbye.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
COVID-19 seems to be the gift that keeps on giving negatively, this thing doesn't seem like it's going to stop. It's good to have conversations with people like Johan who are predicting that, yes, things are tough right now, but once we get through this period, we're likely to see an uptick. My main concern is the negative outlook on the economy that's being given, especially in terms of growth, because last week we had that conversation with Adrian Saville from Gibbs Business School, and he was saying that their forecast at the time is now at negative 1%, and now you have Johan from Old Mutual saying that it's negative 2%. So people are just factoring in even worse times for South Africa. And as I said during the actual podcast, it's very worrying when, as a country, you struggle to grow above 1%, but within a space of weeks, your forecast is now negative 2%. That is a huge contraction. And we certainly hope that when the recovery does come into place after the COVID-19 is handled and we get through this period, that the recovery is something that's going to be able to actually get us and actually minimize some of those losses. As he said it, And I'm definitely in support of the view. At the end of this period, for example, in South Africa, at the end of the lockdown period, and if by that time COVID-19 is handled, we flatten the curve, we're likely going to see more people just going out, doing all the things that they hadn't been able to do, buying all the things that they haven't been able to do. So we might actually see that upswing, and we just hope that it will be enough to keep the country, I guess, afloat and minimize that upcoming contraction. As to whether Moody's will do the downgrade or not, I'm not sure. I know that a lot of people are saying that it just needs to be done. And I guess from a business point of view, yes, this thing, it's been pending, it's already been priced in. But given everything that's going on in the economy around the world and all the things that are happening, you might as well just downgrade everybody. And it just seems as if I was Moody's, you'd give it perhaps after the lockdown or COVID-19 is done, perhaps give it another quarter before you make a final decision on what's going on. I suspect that might happen, but it remains to be seen because ratings agencies do what ratings agencies do. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That is under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.